absolutely mad, you know. So I thought that's a good story. Right, anyway, so could you just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background?
Okay, I'm Marcus Blackett, and I've been a carpenter most of my life, but I did try shopkeeping for 3 years at the Beacon in Stroud, and that's now gone to the wall, but I'm back doing building.
It's not the only retail thing to go to the wall, is it? Because we've got all these big companies moving in. But I know you're also a bit of an activist as well, aren't you?
Yes, I've been quite active, protesting the Iraq war start. That was my beginning. I'm definitely a 9/11 conspiracy theorist, based on evidence, not based on anything else. I did become part of Extinction Rebellion, but actually I started the Beacon on the basis of a Stop 5G campaign, because I thought, here's an environmental group who are interested in ecological issues, and here is an ecological issue. For me, 5G is an issue to do with biological warfare, basically.
Well, it's harmful. Microwaves, we know, are harmful. They cause biological damage. As you know, you don't stick your head in a microwave. But anyway, I know you've recently been through, well, I mean, we could call it a court case, but it isn't really, because you were charged. But then we've got some good news, haven't we? So can you just take us through that and what it was all about to begin with?
Well, during the third lockdown, a group of us were very concerned that some of our friends were feeling, having mental health problems. And these are people that I know personally, and I was feeling that if these people who are normally very strong are having mental health problems, then people who are more susceptible are bound to be having mental health problems. And so a group of about six of us decided to take action, go out into the street with notice boards, with sandwich boards, citizens' conversation on one side, and we asked a provocative question on the other side. And we walked around the streets, and people could stop us and say, to speak about what they wanted to talk about.
You're talking about bringing something out into the public spaces, which for many people was quite intimidating during the lockdowns. But when you're talking about mental health problems, what kind of thing you mean? Because there's a whole spectrum of those mental problems, aren't there?
Well, we had people come up to us, and they would say to us, "Thank God, I thought I was the only one. Yeah, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was going mad. You know, these lockdowns, what are they doing? This is crazy." So we knew we were doing something. And okay, it's provocative. We realised we're kind of not everyone's best friend.
So what kind of questions were on your board? And what kind of things were you bringing up?
Well, one of the questions was medicalising society, ? Who controls the discourse was another one. WHO controls the discourse.
Well, look, I mean, this is what you and I were brought up to be, critical thinkers. I mean, actually, our schooling system decided it was going to do that, and it's almost as if that was shut down during these lockdowns.
Yeah, I think since what we've realised is since that society is definitely becoming bifurcated. It's you're either one way or you're the other way, and we felt that our way of thinking needed more visibility, because the mainstream media just had one narrative, and any alternative narrative, any democracy in conversation, is completely missing.
Was there sort of a police uniform appear on the horizon at some point then?
So, we we probably went out probably about 6 or 7 times during the tier 3. If you remember, from about mid-December 2020 till the 8th of January 2021, it was tier 3. You know, we were told to sort of like, you know, Christmas, you know, don't go and hug your granny and all this sort of stuff. But then January the 9th, they decided to make it into a tier 4 lockdown. But we decided, and during the earlier times, you know, we bumped into the local constabulary, and they asked us some questions, and we were allowed to walk on because we were basically not doing any harm.
So were you, they forcing you or asking you to give your names, addresses, or was that?
No. We had friendly conversations with the local constabulary. They were perfectly happy. During the tier 4, the guidelines that were given were that we were supposed to only go on essential shopping journeys, and, you know, only in a bubble of some kind, and, you know, social distancing. And we were very respectful. We continued to walk out in the street, so there were 3 of us went out on that day.
So whereabouts were you in Stroud?
So we walked down Stroud High Street and down King Street, and we were spotted on CCTV, and the call went out to the local constabulary, you know, they're out again. All the local police officers didn't do anything. They thought, well, it's them again, right, fine. But our arresting constable, who happened to come to arrest us, was actually in Yewley at the time, which is 8 miles away, on a freezing January morning. And he decided, right, I'm going to get these guys.
And so people that don't know, Yewley is like a little village that's down towards sort of Thornbury direction, actually, now, or is it Dursley?
Dursley, yeah.
Yeah, Dursley way.
Yewley's a little village out down towards Dursley.
Not a lot of crime in Yewley, I would
Not
have
a lot of crime in Yewley. What this sergeant was doing over there, I don't know. He was obviously just trying to make sure people were locked up in their homes during the lockdown, acting officiously. So he gets the call over the police radio. He decides, right, this is worth pursuing. So he drives over. I see, the common, Selsley Common, and comes down to Stroud and comes to look for us around Stroud. Well, he eventually bumps into us, and we're having I'm having a conversation at the time with a nurse who is equally, really happy to see us, and we're having a very good conversation about lockdown, you know, how she's feeling, and we're very respectfully, you know, 2 meters apart. We're not doing anyone any harm.
Not getting in anyone's personal space.
No, we're not getting in anyone's personal space. And anyway, so this officer comes along, and he proceeds to speak to Richard House, saying, "You're having a gathering," and starts to write down details, wanting to give him an on-the-spot £100 fine.
So this is 3 of you?
There were 3 of us at the time, yeah. There were 3.
That's a nurse. 4. I suppose that really is a... It's quite a big gathering getting
well,
on.
Well, actually, Richard House was... No, I was with another lady. I won't mention her name, but... So Richard House was he was 50 metres behind us. But because this police officer was following Richard House, he and we were stopped talking. Richard House caught up with us, and then the police officer stopped us saying, "You're having a gathering." Yeah. So, but it was the police officer who was actually corralling us into having a gathering. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having a gathering. We would just be talking to this nurse, quite, you know, under all guidelines that we were given, you know, to control this deadly virus. We were respectfully, you know, behaving within the guidelines. But because this police officer basically was corralling Richard House, so then Richard House was pulled to one side. The police officer tried to give him a fine. I then intervened on Richard's behalf, and the police officer decided to arrest us both on that. So without putting up any particular fight, then of course he then ordered a couple of squad cars to come and take us, and then there was the whole thing of, oh well, there's this deadly virus going around, so now we're going to go into a confined space inside a police car with two police officers, of course, wearing masks, of course, which is, you know, as we know, very protective. You know, viruses can't get in and out of masks. So, and of course, having, you know, with two squad cars coming up, you know, a policeman arresting us.
And did you at any point say, hang on guys, you're now having a gathering?
Well, a small crowd of course gathered of shoppers around King Street, yeah. And I turned round to the officer and I said, well, you're accusing us of having a gathering. There were four of us socially distanced, and yet have a look at all them over there. There was about 10 people all gathered round. You know, I mean,
there's an element of the Goodies or Monty Python, the absurdity to this, isn't there?
Well, yeah, and deadly serious as well, because, I mean, there's this deadly virus, you know, that's spreading like wildfire.
So did they actually handcuff you or anything like that?
Well, because we were being very respectful and well-behaved and just having a decent conversation, luckily, he didn't decide to handcuff us. I think I would have just walked away at that point because there was only one of him. I said okay. Just we'll wait and see what happens, and we'll just.
How long were you in custody for, and what happened then?
Well, we were taken away. I was in a cell for three hours.
Here in Stroud?
No, in Quedgeley, taken to Quedgeley. You know, very nice sergeant at the desk who was very polite. I have to say, there was there was about five or six officers on the desk. They weren't wearing masks. Yeah, I mean, the luckily a friend of ours is a district councillor, and she heard of our plight and came down to the police station and ordered our release. And
district councillors surely can't do things like that. Who is this person? Can I ask what party?
Skeena. Do you know Skeena? No. Okay. She's a friend of ours. She's Green Party. I don't know.
So what happened with the case? Because did it take them long to charge you?
So we were issued a £100 fine, and which we then contested through. We basically...
it's like a parking ticket type.
It's basically... It's a parking ticket. That's what it is. But we weren't aware of that particular... that there was actually a court case. What we understood was that the magistrate had just issued this fine. There was no case for us to go to and try and object. So what we did was we wrote to the chief constable, and he didn't reply. We got letters from different agencies, all sorts of different agencies, telling us that, oh yeah, if you want to make a complaint, you go through this way. Well, we were saying, well, we're not making a complaint. What we're doing is we're actually, you know, charging you with, you know, illegally issuing us a £100 fine.
So you're contesting the fine itself and not paying it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that went on for quite a long time, and eventually, they just sent round the bailiff, and unfortunately, my wife was at home at the time, and she just paid it. It was £800 by that time, it was built up to. Richard House is a pensioner, and they just docked his pension and started just taking direct debits out of his pension. So at that point we decided that we would raise money through a crowdfund campaign for legal defence to get our conviction overturned. Now, that process, had gone on for over a year, we had to then go to court to get it under what's called the slip rule, which is get the case reopened. The magistrate agreed that the case should be reopened, and the date was put for February this year. And we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's now near the end of February. And we've just heard that the Crown Prosecution Service have decided to drop the case. So, what have we been through? It's it's over 2 years now since all this happened.
But it does show you that, you know, the legal process is there. Use it, basically. Yeah. Don't just try and ignore it. Maybe not pay fines. They will come for you. What you've done is successfully really take the fight to them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't going to give up. Great generosity from people. We've had articles in Caduceus magazine, New View magazine, The Light magazine, Toby Young's Daily Skeptic. And we managed to raise £7,500, which actually, you know, we paid back our fine. In other words, you know, has paid. So in other words, we're not out of pocket ourselves, and we've been able to pay a very hot team of solicitors, Hugh Jackman solicitors, Andy. Yeah, we're very thankful that through the courts we've managed to do it.
Well, I mean, there are actually quite a lot of solicitors, maybe people don't realise out there, who specialise in taking on the police. Are these those sort of solicitors? And I'm just really asking you, if anyone's listening who, you know, either in the future experiences this kind of thing, or they have existing fines that they're wrestling with, you know, what's your advice to?
So we have an activist in Stroud called Debbie Hicks. And she used this team of sisters. I think they're called Hugh Jackman sisters. And our particular guy is right on the case with all things to do with that happened over the lockdown over the last couple of years. And he's managed to get Debbie Hicks. She was fined £10,000 for filming in Gloucester Royal Hospital during lockdown, showing that there was a completely empty hospital when the media was telling us that it was full of COVID patients.
How, how would someone find in their local area some, you know, what kind of solicitor does this sort of work? I'm just thinking that this is a world that many people think that they would never have to, you know, approach solicitors and ask for this sort of thing. So what advice have you got for them?
For people that want to take on the system, well, there are solicitors out there that will do this for you, but I mean, you know, this is a team of London solicitors. You know, they know their stuff. And
so how have you been feeling this week?
I'm very elated that we've beaten the police at that game. And yeah, they don't really have any teeth over, you know, if we're locked down again, you know, there really isn't anything they can do. I would give everyone the advice, you know, don't comply if you have any doubt that you think that there really isn't any use in these lockdowns. My personal belief all along is that the lockdowns throughout the world hasn't saved a single life. I'm sure a mask hasn't stopped a single virus escaping from someone's mouth and jumping into someone else's mouth. Social distancing, well, very, very debatable. I mean, if you ever see a picture of a sneeze, you know, someone sneezing one end of the room, it'll reach 50 metres, yeah? Very little chance that social distancing actually works. These are very, very spurious measures, and as many of us think that there's other motives behind all of these things.
Okay, well, go on. Yeah. What you can wind up now by telling us what you think it was really all about.
I think this is about getting compliance amongst a large majority of the population, and I think British people are especially easily made to comply, and it seems that Australians are also very easy to comply, but it's always surprised me because I thought they were more rebellious. We're getting ready to roll out central bank digital currencies with, you know, with biological passports. I think that's what's going on. In a very militaristic fashion. It's quite obvious that this has been directed not by our elected representatives, but by a central agency that's been directing this throughout the world with financial, you know, interests.
So what do we do?
What do we do? Well, we have to just not comply with it, and, you know, create another system. There's not a lot you can do if you're bought into the system. Birth till death, live the comfortable life, have everything done for you. It's not a life that's really anything worth having.
Marcus, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much, Tony.